You're listening to the Ricky Long Podcast.
The podcast is back. Let's not go into any sort of speech as to where the podcast has been and why haven't there been any episodes. Let's focus on the here and now. The podcast is back. You're hearing my voice in your ears, which are in your head, which is behind your face, above your neck. This is what's happening right now. And again, I don't want to go into all the big plans for the podcast over the next 12 months in 2023, because that would be kind of a half-truth of a few ideas. I wouldn't call them big plans. I have small plans, some ideas. That's where we're at. This episode, as you know from the title, if you're looking at your phone now or if you've seen it on social media, is to be a better Les Mills instructor. 10, 15 minutes, 5 or 6 points. How it works is I have a bullet point written and then I freestyle and spin off the chat around that point. If you didn't already know, podcast is sponsored by Motion Fitness Education, which is our education-based company for the fitness industry. So if you have any desire to become a personal trainer, get a kettlebells qualification, do your pre and postnatal to help you in your business, Motion Fitness Education can do that for you. And there is always discount there for listeners of the podcast. And I guess that is part of the plans. 5 points to be a better Les Mills instructor. Point number one, team teach with the music. Now, if there's any Les Mills instructors listening to this, and your ears have just perked up because you've read that in an assessment or a Les Mills qualification or a grade review, that means I've written it for you. This is a massive thing I'm really hot on. I teach it on module training, and like I said, I write it in assessments. Team teach with the music. It's exercise to music. It's not exercise to instructor voices. So what that means is when you're teaching, I want to hear 50% of the instructor voice and 50% of the music. Better yet, 40-60 in favor of the music, or 30-70. You get where I'm going with this. Now, the reason for that is what the music will do along with the instructor's voice is that will create an atmosphere, which is normally dictated by the feel of the music, the emotion of the music, and also influenced by the intensity of the track. So if we're talking about body pump, a track 4 tends to do more to the heart rate than say a track 6, which is the back track against the bicep track. So that will differentiate how much we need the instructor voice, and how the instructor voice will actually sound in terms of pitch, intensity, volume. And the song is also different as well. Again, speaking about body pump, you tend to find backtracks have a really strong beat, maybe a little bit of dubstep in there. It's quite powerful sounding. Bicep, tricep tracks can be a little bit more softer in terms of the beat, a little bit more fun, and ordinarily have a lot of lyrics in it. So I want to hear the lyrics. I want to feel the musical beats. And if you're talking, I can't hear the musical beat. Your members can't hear the musical beat. And if you're talking, we cannot hear the song either. So we want to team teach with the music. If you're an instructor who scripts, have a listen to the music. Get some landmarks in the music that you want your class to hear for whatever reason, and make sure you don't talk over the top of that. So team teach with the music. If you were team teaching with another instructor, you wouldn't talk when they're talking. So apply the same metric to the music when you're teaching on your own. Team teach with the music. If there's something good in the song, let your members hear it. Point number two, when you deliver a cue, look at someone's eyes. Now, this is a really, really good tool in terms of how you coach and how you connect with your members as well. Very often we will coach generically, which is fine. But when you're given that generic cue, try to eyeball someone rather than looking over people's heads or looking at people's knees or toe alignments, whatever it may be. The reason why this is so successful is because if you are actually looking at someone when you deliver this cue, it lands with them. Think about it. If you're in a coffee shop and you're on a coffee, you're not looking down at the floor when you ask for a cappuccino or a mocha or anything. You're looking at the person because you want the response from them. You want them to make you your cappuccino. So you look at them and say, cappuccino, please. So when you're teaching your body attack track and you want somebody to drop lower in the lunge, you'll say bend the back knee more and look at that person, and you will be more likely to get that desired response. For best results, use this. Maybe think about using this in your layer two coaching cues and pick a different person in each track that you teach or each round that you teach in the room. And that will allow you to connect with the whole room in just about every class, unless you have class numbers which kind of exceed 30 to 40 people on a regular basis. Point number three links back to point number one, find more silence. Generally, just find more silence when you teach. Now, there's two ways I want you to think about this. The first way is back to what I said in point number one, team teaching with music. Obviously, if you're being silent, we're going to hear the music more. So you find those moments of the song and moments of the workout where you can give some silence to allow the song to be heard and give some silence for the members to both action the previous coaching cues you have given and feel and build the workout and intensity in their own way. The second way you can find more silence is shortening your sentences. A real thing I hate, and we actually say this a lot on like Les Mills masterclasses, and it really, really irritates me when we have words in a sentence which just don't need to be there. So up next, we have a tempo change, 2-2. Up next, we have a tempo change, doesn't need to be there. All we need to say is 2-2. Yeah, so if you can shorten your sentences to make it really concise, you'll bring in more silence within your coaching cues. The less you say, the more your clients are going to hear. So up next, we have a 2-2 squat. Your members are going to be processing that whole sentence when the only part of that sentence they need to know is 2-2 squat. So think about that when you're teaching a class and doing your script and shorten your sentences. It might be something you want to practice. Point number four, give your members education beyond their group fitness class. What we're really good at doing in teaching Les Mills classes is giving education from the masterclass, from the choreography notes, Les Mills type of language, you know, burning calories, getting stronger, lean bodies in some cases, injury prevention, whatever it might be. So we're really, really good at that. Now let's talk about give it a little bit more that's going to help individual members, maybe generically, but definitely individually in their everyday life. So look up and see who's in the room. You might have clients in the room who are members in the room, rather, who are cyclists. You might have members in the room who are swimmers. You might have runners. You might have dancers, gymnasts, whatever it might be. And if you're teaching, just taking a body combat track, so like a track four where there's, you know, loads of kick katas and kick combinations and that sort of thing, you could say to the gymnast in the room, these kick combinations, katas, are going to help you with coordination, going to help you with flexibility and control. The same time you can be saying to the cyclist, this is going to help hip mobility and stability, so you're going to get more out of your cycling, etc., etc. So give them beyond the fitness class, how is it going to help them in their everyday life? Speaking of everyday life, how is that going to help them in what they do for a job, on how they get to work, on how they walk the dog, on how they play with the kids? So really think out and don't limit yourself to the language from Les Mills land. So we're all very, very good at like regurgitating what's on the masterclass, and I don't necessarily mean that in a negative way. It's there for us to do that, to take that language and use for our classes. You know, it works, it's tried and tested, but make sure you're using your own language as well. If you're unsure, for example, on the benefits of a roundhouse kick, go onto Google and Google roundhouse kick education. 10 things about a roundhouse kick, 10 ways to improve a roundhouse kick, and read up on it, get research. You know, the more knowledge you have, the more knowledge you can give to your members, you could really strike a nice balance there. And when it comes to giving education, often, especially in tension-based workouts, like body pump, Les Mills core. You can use the choreography as your educator. So if you think about a squat movement and you're doing a 2-2 compared to a squat movement where you're doing a 3-1, what's the difference and what are the benefits that someone's going to get from a 2-2 combination to a 3-1 combination? Obviously, in a 2-2 combination, it's equal time in the concentric and the eccentric phase, the up and down phase. Whereas in the 3-1, you're spending more time in the eccentric phase, the negative phase on the way down. So your muscles are lengthening under tension with control, and then you're getting a little bit of movement and speed on the way up in the one count. Sometimes the music will influence that 3-1. The 3-1 might be 3-2-1-1, like a soft one on the way up, or sometimes it'll be 3-2-1 and a sharp one on the way up. Depends how the musical feel is. It depends how you want to teach it that day. So if you're going a slow concentric on the way up, or do a hard and fast concentric and like a weight at the top, it's going to provoke different training stimuli because you're moving your body at different speeds. Think about that when you are giving your education to your members. Point number five, be less of an instructor and more of a performer. It won't surprise you that somebody like Ricky Long is saying a sentence like that. What we mean by perform is perform to your members in a way that fits. And I want to leave that quite open. Fits. So in a way that fits you as a person, you as a professional, and a way that suits the class you have, in terms of the members there, the time of day, the class you're teaching. So how you perform in body pump is going to be very different to how you perform in body combat to body balance, for example. So you want to perform. Now, when we're performing as a Les Mills instructor, you're trying to give your members an experience which is beyond exercise, which is beyond workout. We want to give them a positive experience. It's going to make them enjoy that moment, which will ultimately bring them back to your next class and other classes on the timetable. There are different ways to perform this. And I've said this before, like kind of publicly, tongue in cheek, but I kind of mean it. If you look at the five key skills, key elements rather, of being a Les Mills instructor, it's choreography, coaching, sorry, choreography, technique, coaching, connection, and performance. When I'm in charge of Les Mills, we're going to change performance to the word experience because we do a performance which gives an experience. So think about the experience you want your members to get from your class. You know, your brand, your product, what makes your body pump class, your body pump class, your body combat class, your body combat class. What experience do you want your members to have? And then that helps you perform that way. For example, if you want the experience your class to have really, really highly educated, so they will know all the benefits about the moves that they're doing, then that's what you bring in your performance. So you bring that into your coaching language. If you want your class to have a lot of fun, you would bring that into your performance. So you might be adding little things into movement patterns. You might try to be funny with your coaching. If you want your members to have a really mindfulness experience, you might link into the words of the song. You might just let the music speak. So think about what experience you want your members to have and use how you perform as a way to get there. There's three main tools to use. There's the music in terms of the emotion and the feel of the music. Every song's different. How you use your voice. Typically, we talk about a conversational voice and a motivational voice. Don't limit yourself to those two words. So a conversational voice is exactly what you're hearing right now, but this is also a conversational voice, and this is also a conversational voice. So you can get different tones in that. And then you have your motivational voice, which can be a big voice. It can be a voice that starts low like this and then speeds up like that, also in volume. And it can be a really strong, gritty voice like this, etc., etc. Little tip for you. If you're in layer one, your voice should be conversational. If you're in layer two, your voice should be motivational. So there's a difference in the cue, therefore there's a difference in the voice and how it sounds. That makes logical sense in more ways than one. And then the third one is moves. This is everything from some sort of like hip roll, shoulder pop, and body pump, or how you transition in body balance, Les Mills core, body combat. A great man, Steve Tansey, once said in body combat, great instructors are the ones who transition between moves and still look like a martial artist. So it's easy to look like a kickboxer during a kickboxing track, but how you transition from the first combination to the second combination in the kickboxing track is what separates like the good instructors to the great instructors. So it's getting into those movement patterns. If you watch any masterclass, just using pump as an example, if you look at how somebody like Ben Mayne moves compared to Kylie Gates, so they use their moves really, really well, which suits their person. So Kylie Gates is really strong, technically really, really proficient in sound and how she moves. She always has a great smile and great energy about her. She's always super enthusiastic. Ben Mayne, by contrast, he likes to bring in a little bit of swag, finds a little bit of extra movement in moves, uses sound effects very, very well, and can have like a real, real serious element to his face and how he looks. So you can bring that in, like facial expressions. You can have side profiles. You can have 45-degree profiles. You can even move across the front of the stage. So you don't want to move like during combinations and during working sets, but between sets, if you have a reason to move from the front to the front center of the room to just off front center, then do it because it'll create that different experience for your class. Five things to be a better Les Mills instructor. By the way, you can apply all of these to everything that you teach. Podcast sponsored by Motion Fitness Education, as we said at the start. Do check the link out in the show notes. Five things to be a better Les Mills instructor. Team teach with the music. When you deliver a cue, look at someone's eyes. Find more silence. Give your members education beyond their group fitness class. Be less of an instructor and more of a performer.
You are listening to the Ricky Long Podcast, where international fitness entrepreneur Ricky Long answers your questions and interviews fitness leaders on training, nutrition, and mindset. Be sure to leave a review on iTunes.